time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is a very special show. It's our Thanksgiving show. I have incredible guests today. We have members from the Interfaith Food Pantry right here in Morris County. We have Carolyn Lake, Nathan Umbriak, and Margaret Bohm. And we're going to talk about the great, great mission of the Interfaith Food Pantry, Neighbors Helping Neighbors. This is a very special show since it's Thanksgiving coming up, and I wanted just to talk briefly about what Thanksgiving means to me and about all the blessings in my life. I'm blessed with a wonderful family. I have two wonderful boys, and I have a career that I love. I love helping people, and I have amazing friends, and candidly, this show has been a real blessing for me. It gives me an opportunity to reach out to the community and really see some wonderful people. And I just feel so blessed. And I think on Thanksgiving, we should really reflect about all of the blessings God bestows upon us. I also want to thank the guests again for coming out this morning. We're going to explore the wonderful mission of the Interfaith Food Pantry. And I wanted to basically introduce everyone in the room today. Also, we have our great producer, Ellen. And Ellen, before we go around the room and talk about who's here, do you want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, what it means to you and your family?
Well, we have a tradition on Thanksgiving to spend it with not only family but close friends that I grew up with. So the tradition was passed on from our parents who were good friends and had the families together. And unfortunately, we've lost some of those parents because they've, you know, gotten older, and we're actually the new older generation. And we still get together with those same people every year. So it's friends and family. So it's pretty special. It's at my house now, too. Oh, that's right. Something new the past 3 years. So I have about 32 people coming over to my house for Thanksgiving. And I, too, am thankful for my family and my friends, and people are probably the most important thing to me. So I'm with you on that one.
It's not just simply eating turkey and watching football.
No, I don't know how the food's going to be, but we will be together. And to me, that's really the most important thing. I stress that to people that get stressed about how the house is going to look. And people just want to be with the people they want to be with. They just want to be fed. You know, not everything has to be perfect. I think our world is way too stressed on presentation and not enough on content. So.
Okay, well, that's definitely true. We got to focus on really the blessings we have and the love you can share with family and friends. So, Carolyn Lake, good morning once again. I wanted to basically ask you a little bit of some introductory questions since our listeners may not be that familiar with you and how you got started with the Interfaith Food Pantry. Where are you from?
All right, a little bit of background information on me. I grew up in Dover. I was the seventh of eight children. My father worked for the post office. My mother was a bookkeeper. So, you know, I came from a humble background. Lived in Morris County all of my life. I now live in Morris Township with my husband. I have three grown children who will all be home for Thanksgiving, and I'm looking forward to seeing them all. Really just kind of came up, you know, with very grassroots, you know, right here in Morris County, went to County College of Morris, worked here, started with a plastics company as a receptionist, and later on worked my way all the way through, did some schooling, became a marketing manager there, left that company, went to Accenture for a little while. I worked at Accenture for about 2 years until my youngest child came into the world. And after she was born, I was thinking about going back to work and looking at childcare costs and, you know, what it would take for me to actually head back to work with that beeper on my belt, because I was in IT. And if that thing went off at 3 o'clock in the morning, it meant going in. I decided it really wasn't worth it. And I decided I was going to stay home, and I raised her, and that's really where I came from. I learned about the Interfaith Food Pantry through the deacon at my church. And I was sitting there thinking, all right, so here's where I am now. What's next? And I have to tell this story. So sorry. I said when I came on the show that I would open my mouth and words are going to come out, and I may just go on and on. So stop me if I go on too long.
Well, we have an hour, but let's see how it goes.
So he was telling the story about this woman who was an immigrant. She was actually a refugee. And she was living in Morris Plains. And as I had told you, Todd, before, you don't know about hunger until you know about local hunger. And I realized that my eyes were shut and I really had no clue as to what was happening in my community. This woman had come into the church food pantry. Like I said, she was a refugee. She had two small children with her. And she was struggling. She was looking for work. She was living in town over in a small apartment above a retail store. And she was facing eviction. And she finally had, the landlord actually padlocked her door. And so she came into the church one Friday evening, and he was putting a bag of food together for her because she said, I have no food. I'm staying in this hotel. I'm not really sure what's happening. And as he's packing the bag of food, she's going through the bag of food, and she's taking out tuna fish, and she's taking out all of these items from this bag of food. And he's frustrated, and he's telling her this story, okay? He's like, is there something wrong with the food that I'm giving you? Is there a reason you don't want this? And she looked at him and she's, you don't understand. I don't have a can opener. And so all these canned foods that he was giving her, she didn't even have the ability to open the cans. And he's telling me this story and I'm thinking, maybe there's something more I could be doing. And then when he started going through the numbers of how many seniors, how many working families in right here in our neighborhood were struggling with this food insecurity. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, that could be the lady sitting next to me. It could be, you know.
I have friends who went through divorces. And people, you know, say a divorce is really expensive. And I have friends that are my contemporaries that are in our school that, you know, their kids are playing with your kids. And they're struggling to have sometimes money for food. And you would never.
You don't.
It's not someone sitting on the street. It's
exactly.
Someone in a house that is, you know, being taken back by the bank that you don't even know. You're right. It's next to us, and most of us don't even realize because you're just going home and feeding your kids and going to work the next day.
Right. And so that was my inspiration. And so I went up to the Interfaith Food Pantry, which I found out about, and I said, how can I help? And they said, Rosemary Gilmartin was the executive director at the time. She said, what do you drive? I said, well, I've got this 2000 Dodge Caravan. What can I do with that? She's like, oh, good. You're our community food bank person. Let's take this seat out and send you down to Hillside. And that was it.
That's great.
It just kind of brought me in from there.
What wonderful. So, Carolyn, I understand you're now actually the executive director of this very, very important organization. Am I correct?
Yes.
So as our listeners tune in today and learn more about, you know, the importance of the mission and how to help others, especially those that are unfortunately fall between those cracks and maybe need a helping hand, as we talked on briefly, the neighbors helping neighbors. How would they reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to us is just go to our website at mcifp.org. You'll find so much information. You can download the volunteer application. If you're interested in volunteering, you can donate funds. A lot of the food that we distribute is donated by the public, about 65% of it. So we love kids doing food drives, companies that do food drives, a lot of houses of worship, donating food funds and volunteer time. That's what makes us do what we do.
Right. So, Carolyn, when I reached out to you recently, you were so gracious to say you're going to be able to join the show. I had asked you, could you perhaps bring some other folks on that are really integral to this important mission, Neighbors Helping Neighbors. And you mentioned Nathan Umbriak and obviously Margaret Bohm, who also are in the studio. But I wanted to, and thank you again for introducing me to Nathan and Margaret, very special people. Nathan, what about you? Well, how'd you get involved in this Interfaith Food Pantry? Well, it's a little background about yourself, because each week we like to try to explore how folks, just regular people, just trying to help others. What was the impetus? How did you, you know, realize you thought it was important to give back?
Sure. So thanks for having me. When I was in graduate school at Seton Hall, I needed to complete, I don't remember if it was 10 or 20 community service hours. And I was looking for a local organization where I could give back and you know, do something to benefit the community. And I wasn't, I'm not from New Jersey, so I'm not familiar with, you know, Morris County. And I asked my wife, who was involved with the Junior League of Morristown, for a local organization that I could volunteer with. And this is probably about 11 or 12 years ago. And she told me about the Interfaith Food Pantry. So I looked up the information, and I called, and I had an opportunity to sit down, actually, with Carolyn, who did my interview, and I filled out the paperwork, and I started to volunteer with the food pantry. We did distribution, food distribution, where you would work with a client and go around the food pantry and help them shop for items. I continued to do that for a few years until I started to have my own family, and I moved on to home delivery. So with home delivery, I shop for a client based on their wants and their needs, and then I bring it to their home and deliver it to them. I continue with the food pantry beyond my needed 10 to 20 hours of community service because I really felt welcome there. The staff were tremendous. Carolyn's tremendous. Everybody welcomed me with open arms. And working with the clients, you could tell that they really appreciated the help. I really enjoyed the feeling of giving back. Just the smile, the handshake, the hug, you know, thanking me for helping them. And I've been there and continue to volunteer my time and give back to the food pantry.
Well, that's truly a blessing on your part, Nathan. And I know that you were kind enough to provide a little background information. I mean, you're blessed with four beautiful kids. Do you get an opportunity to have your children accompany you when you deliver some of this important food?
I certainly do. I bring especially my older two. I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son who are very familiar with the food pantry. They know, they come in and they know everybody that works there. They know the lay of the land. And I take them with me when I shop for my clients and when I deliver the food to the clients as well, so that they understand the importance of giving back, something that I can instill in them.
That's awesome. Can I ask Nathan a question? Would you have been doing this had you not had to take those credits? Like, do you feel that if parents expose their kids at a time when they may not really be familiar with that, do you think that does at some point, was that like a turning point for you to say, wait, I kind of need to do this all the time? Or do you think that would have been in you already?
I think giving back was instilled in me, but not knowing, obviously, the organization or the need. You know, we talked about, you know, hunger is something that you don't see. It's something that, you know, your neighbors, your friends, people are in different situations, but it's not something that you readily see. And the reason that I bring my kids is because I want them to understand the importance of giving back. So if they see that it's something that daddy does, hopefully it's something down the line that they'll want to do.
That's great.
No question about it. And Margaret, good morning again.
Thank you for
waking up and joining us so early. I was reading obviously a little background about yourself, and if you don't mind, I want to first say, do you have a nickname, Mac?
I do, Mac.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I can't help myself. So I you don't look like a Mac. You look like a very refined, very interesting lady.
Story.
All right, well, maybe give us a very abbreviated version.
My
father,
growing up, called me Mag with a G because I was as pretty as a magnolia blossom. How cheesy is that? Then my niece had a son who I started to babysit for, and as he got older, he called me Aunt Mac. And it just stuck because he's just the light of my life. So everyone else in my family had to change it to Mac because...
Okay. Well, I was just curious. Can I call you Mac? Is that an imposition? No problem. Thank
no
you
problem.
So much.
Yeah.
We're all friends here now, right?
Right.
So if you don't mind, could you share just a little bit about your story and how you got involved with the Interfaith Food Pantry? Because I think this is a very important thing for our listeners.
Yeah. And I think I represent a large population. I am a senior. I unfortunately years ago had to declare bankruptcy due to a medical bill, which over 500,000 families a year have to do, unfortunately. After that, since I had worked all my life and I did have a small pension and Social Security, I did not qualify for any help from the state or the government. So that put me in an odd spot where I was just above that poverty level, and yet I could not live on my own. My son and beautiful daughter-in-law were kind enough to take me in, so I live with them. And honestly, I was struggling, and I looked on Facebook, and I saw the Interfaith Food Pantry had a farmer's market. So I went to the farmer's market thinking it was free for seniors. I had no idea even what they did. And when I got there, I found out that it was, in fact, a food pantry. And I thought, oh, well, I won't qualify. I haven't qualified for anything. But what I came to learn is they don't turn anyone away. So they took my financial information, and they offer me things based on that. And I just found that when I went there, I was received with open arms. Everyone had a positive attitude. I felt very comfortable. I wasn't embarrassed. And I absolutely loved it there. And literally on my way home, I decided to volunteer there also, just because of the atmosphere. I absolutely loved it. The other thing I like about it is, I mean, a lot of food pantries just cannot offer certain things. They don't have the ability to. But with refrigeration and freezers, it's a lot of fresh produce. It's a lot of dairy and meats. So it's not just that typical canned processed foods that, although people need, maybe isn't so good for them. And they also stress nutrition. They have classes. As a client, I'm enabled to, you know, they offer bone scans and diabetes training and nutrition training. Every time you go as a client and shop, they have a kitchen. They show you a recipe that they've used with the fresh fruits and vegetables they're offering that week. They just discuss the nutrition, and they allow you to taste it. And then all of those items they've used to prepare that meal are then available that day for you. So it's really nice.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, Mac, this is one of the really important things, I think, and I appreciate your, you know, talking about, I'm sorry you went through that, you know, years ago, about the plight of many of the seniors that are kind of debating. They got bills to pay. They got to eat, right? And maybe you could speak again about folks that should, you know, understand the individuals, these folks at the Interfaith Food Pantry, there to lend a helping hand.
Absolutely.
Neighbor helping neighbor. So don't be shy or embarrassed.
Well, I can't
you should
stress
get some,
that more.
You should go there, right?
You know, when I went, I have to be honest, since I worked all my life, it's a little embarrassing going and asking for help. But there, they do not give you a hand out. They give you a hand up. That's what I like to look at it as, because they make you feel so comfortable. And again, it is based on your needs. So even if you just are having a little trouble, which was me, I just wasn't quite making enough money, you can go there and take advantage of this. And I think the senior population, of course, I mean, it's growing. We're all living longer. I'm a part of the baby boomers, which is a huge, you know, population. And I think a lot of them are stuck in that situation. I'm alone. My husband passed. Like I said, I'm fortunate that my son took me in. But, you know, not everyone has family, and I think that the positive attitude there should not, no one should be afraid to go there. No one should be embarrassed to go there. They welcome you with open arms, and no one looks down on you. They even the fact that they call us clients, I know that's a little thing, but that meant a lot to me. I feel like it's just a very warm and welcoming atmosphere. So I urge any seniors, even if you're struggling a little bit, go in and talk to someone there. They'll explain everything to you. Like I said, they have farm markets every other Friday. In addition, you go monthly and you get food. And I think you're right. I think it's a growing need in our communities.
Right. And you also touched upon, which I honestly didn't realize until I started to prepare for this important show today, is the educational aspects of it as well for folks that want to go and learn more about nutrition and perhaps didn't understand the importance of that. Carolyn, do you want to speak a little bit more about the educational aspects in the Interfaith Food Pantry?
Sure. Well, the first part of our mission is, you know, it's to improve the health and well-being of Morris County residents in need. So in order to do that, we kind of provide all the wraparound services. Katie Galton is our nutrition educator, and she does a phenomenal job. There was a study done in Boston that linked food insecurity to healthcare costs, because we know when people can't afford food, they tend to eat very cheaply. And what happens when you eat cheap? You're more prone to diabetes. You're more prone to obesity. You're more prone to hypertension. The healthcare costs of food insecurity in the greater Boston area was about $2.4 billion.
Wow. You'd think the healthcare companies would think it was important maybe to take a portion of their profits. I'm not going to get into that, but maybe just put it back into some of these food pantries, and they would probably save themselves all the money that they would like to save by just saying no to some of your needs. But
it's a
topic for another day.
Yeah, well, people are getting smart to this, and they're getting wise to it. And there's a pilot program going on there now where doctors are writing prescriptions for food. This is how you tackle this. And we partner with Morristown Medical Center, as Mac had alluded to. They come up and they actually screen people for diabetes, and we have a little round table, and people who are, you know, struggling with this health issue. It's all kind of food centric when you look at it. So we do what we can to kind of improve the wellness of people with by teaching them how to eat right, giving out the recipes, that's really what helps somebody who is, you know, food insecure. When you look at the root causes of what and the real cost of what food insecurity does to our communities.
I guess especially with children, too, because children are growing and they have needs. And so if kids are not getting what they need, then their development forever is now tainted. Right.
Right.
Yeah, one of the big eye-openers, I live in Morris County, I'm raising my family in Morris County, I work in Morris County, so I care a lot about Morris County, is even a very, very affluent county, I mean, Morris County, let's call it the way it is, one of the most affluent counties in the entire country, we still have issues of hunger. It affects all of us. Mac is obviously very candid about her situation, as many others face here. Carolyn, how many meals have been served in Morris County through the Interfaith Food Pantry in 2018, if you know?
Sure. It's over 900,000 if you break it down. We distributed 1.2 million pounds of food last year. And so that actually does break down to a little over 900,000 meals.
Well, you should be very proud about everything you're doing to help others. One of the things that you had brought up a little bit, obviously this community need and the importance of making sure everybody is taken care of and doesn't fall through the safety net. I keep on bringing up this concept because I really love it. It really resonates with me, this concept of neighbors helping neighbors. I don't know if maybe Carolyn or Nathan or Mac, but the genesis of that, because I love it. I mean, it's just a great mantra. Does anyone know how that started?
It was very intentional in building the Interfaith Food Pantry. So our founders, you know, you could start a food pantry and you could have it stuffed. And you could have paid people just standing there handing out food. And when a lot of people think, oh, that's, you know, just a great way of doing it. Well, it's not. If you have community involvement and you create opportunities for people to give back, that builds a sustainable program, because now you have investors and you have people that want to help, you know, making it very simple and warm and friendly for people like Mac and others that need help, and connecting them. And I'm firm a believer that most people want to do good. Most people do want to give back in some way. You have to give them the opportunity to do that. So we are run by volunteers.
And over the course of 2018, we had about 300 what we call staff volunteers. And staff volunteers are people like Nathan and Mac now that do everything. They do food distribution. They work in the office. They sort food. They stock food on the shelves. And they are giving back. We're giving them the opportunity to do that. And they're great ambassadors. And they're out there in the community, and they're telling people in their schools and people in their houses of worship and their offices, and they're saying, you need to know about this issue. You know, there are more people than you can imagine, 10,000 in Morris County, that need our help. And they tell our story, and they're so passionate, and they love the opportunity to give back. And they create even more support out in the community for our organization. So.
Right. And I know I had recently donated. I know there's a lot of great trial lawyers out also that raise tremendous funds to donate on a regular basis. I also wanted to present you a check from my office for the incredible work at the Interfaith Food Pantry.
Thank you.
And once again, for people tuning in, if they wanted to donate, how would they reach you?
MCIFP.org. The website is the best way. It's very easy. There's a big donate now button. If you're interested in doing food drives, there's great information on how to run a food drive if you want to get the kids involved. Of course, you can always just call the office at 973-538-8049. Anybody there, German, Meg, they'll all be happy to just answer your call and answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, it sounds like you have an incredible team. Just meeting you guys in person today, I can see you have a very strong structure. I wanted to explore this concept of really what gets people going to really start to realize to give back. That's, you know, important. Hearing Nathan with his beautiful young family and having his children start to be exposed to the concept, it's not just about me, we got to make the world better. I think that's an incredible thing to instill in young kids, because I think that really bodes well for their future. Since we certainly don't want to raise kids just worried about themselves. They have to be a vibrant part of the community. You know, with you, Mac, you know, in your circumstances, obviously it took a lot of courage to realize you needed a help up. And you obviously not only are benefiting from the great works of the Interfaith Food Pantry, but you're volunteering your time. And when you do that, I mean, can you walk us through kind of like how you feel when you're doing it and the joy you get from it?
I do get so much joy from it. I think, I have other charities that, like, my family has always donated to St. Jude's, you know, that type of thing, and I continue to do so every Christmas. But somehow that's a little anonymous. I fortunately don't know anyone who has needed their services. So this is very hands-on. I see the faces of the people. If I'm helping Katie in the kitchen and we're teaching a class on nutrition and we're introducing someone to an eggplant, they've never seen it before and they don't know how to cook it, I mean, it's so hands-on. And being a foodie also, I have to admit, I just love it. I think the fact that I'm literally looking at the people I'm helping is huge for me. Again, I don't shy away from making money donations to other organizations, but this is just hands-on, and I see the faces. And I just want to mention, because a girlfriend of mine is a Girl Scout troop leader, and she just recently asked me, they were looking for things to do with the Girl Scout troop leaders, and I suggested she call the Interfaith Food Pantry and take the girls there, and she, in fact, did that last week, and so they're going to do that. So that's also a nice thing for the younger generation. If these groups of young people want to go there and take a tour, they're, of course, always welcome. And then, like I just said, you see it. You see the actual people you're helping.
Right. So we're going to take a short break and follow up. This has been such a great beginning of the show. We're going to have a little bit of a break, and then we're going to be right back and continue our discussion this morning.
For over 30 years, the Todd J. Leonard Law Firm has helped thousands of clients following all types of serious personal injury accidents and has recovered over $100 million on their behalf. Todd Leonard is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a trial attorney and has dedicated his entire legal career to providing outstanding personal injury representation to his clients and their families. The Todd J. Leonard Law Firm takes great pride in helping their clients and are very proud of their 5-star reviews. If you've been seriously injured or lost a loved one in a car accident, slip and fall accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, or injured on the job, they have the experience and the proven results that you can trust. Call them now for a free confidential consultation at 973-920-7900 or visit their website at lawleonard.com to learn more about their firm. Their headquarters are conveniently located on Route 10 in Denville. Put their team of experienced New Jersey personal injury trial lawyers to work for you now.
Welcome back again to the Todd Leonard Show. We're just so blessed to have incredible guests for the Thanksgiving show. We're here with the Interfaith Food Pantry, and it's neighbors helping neighbors. And I wanted to, you know, touch upon what Mac just, which I think is an important point, is it's the personal touch. It's the one-on-one. When someone comes in and needs a helping hand or helping up, you're there to help. And I'm sure, Mac, that must be really gratifying to see they're opening up to the fact that they need a help up and you're there to be there. Am I correct?
Exactly. And I just think the people that you see there, not to generalize, but I think some people have an idea of the people that might go to a food pantry, and I think they would be shocked to see the people there. They're people that are you and me and your neighbors, and a lot of elderly people, single moms with young kids. So it touches every part of the community. It's not just people who maybe are on welfare or things, you know, things that people would generalize about a pantry. These are people who are stuck in that position where, like you said, they're living in an affluent area and they just can't quite do it. So it's absolutely neighbors helping neighbors, and putting a face on it was so meaningful for me. It just brought it home. It just brought it home for me. And I realized I wasn't alone. Here I am thinking, oh, well, you know, all my neighbors are in these beautiful homes and I'm struggling. And you go there and you see that there are other people in your same situation. So it's truly, you're looking at yourself when you go there. It's just people that you know that could live right next door to you. So it's really critical. It helps the community.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. A lot of people you don't realize need a help up, and sometimes they feel ashamed or embarrassed, or for whatever reason they feel there's a stigma attached to it. And when I was doing some research, I realized people sometimes just life hits them over the head and they need a help up and they're embarrassed. They don't know where to turn. And obviously it's a heartbreak when the kids can't eat, the kids can't eat. Right. And that's a horrible feeling, I'm sure.
You know, if I can interject here, I just want to say, and nothing against the state or federal government. I mean, I'm sure they're doing what they can, but the level of poverty you have to have to be able to get assistance from them, for most people in Morris County, you do not qualify. I mean, you really have to be in bad situation.
Yeah, just food stamps alone. Okay, so to qualify for SNAP, it's 185% of the federal poverty level. The federal poverty level for a family of four is about $25,000 combined income a year. So if you think about that, try to live in Morris County, even at 185% of $25,000, you can't live in your car for $25,000 a year here in Morris County. The actual cost of living here, if you are a family of four and two of your kids need childcare, is a combined income of about $84,000 a year. So when you look at how many people are falling in between what is considered poverty and what is considered self-sufficiency, it's about 25% of our population.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I never heard those numbers, and I feel like I'm pretty, I don't know, up on things.
Well, Ellen, this is an example of why this is an eye-opener. This show just kind of, you know, really educates the community. Nathan, I you know, look, you're a handsome, tall guy. You know, when you must roll up with your vehicle and the food, can you talk about that feeling when you go to someone's house? And, you know, Mac talked about that face-to-face, but what is that like when you know these people really do need a help up and you come there and you've got food for them? What's that experience like for the listeners?
It's a tremendous feeling. I've been doing home delivery for several years, and you get very close with your home delivery clients. They become an extension of your family. I introduce my children to them. I bring my children with me when I go and deliver food to them. I brought my father with me. And it's really great. You really develop a relationship with these people. They're very appreciative. All of my clients, whether they, you know, give you a hug or just give you a smile, you just feel like you're contributing something great and helping them. And it's something that, again, I want to instill in my children. That's why I bring them with me. And just continue to give back where we can.
So, Nathan, I did a little research too. You're very successful in your career. How do you find the time? I mean, you know, you're a busy guy. You got four kids. You know, you're holding it down at home. You're holding it down at work. But for the listeners, too, this is important because, you know, people have lives, but it's important to get back and find the time. So how do you find the time to do this?
By making it a priority. You know, my wife and I are blessed. We have four small children. We both work. But we do have time in the evenings, depending on our schedules, to do different activities. And making this a priority, as I mentioned before, my wife is also involved with the Junior League of Morristown. And they've done a lot of things with the Interfaith Food Pantry. So it's just making it a priority and wanting to give back and making the time. So juggling the schedule and relying on my wife who, you know, we shift our priorities or shift our responsibilities during the week. Just to make sure that I'm able to go and do what I want to do to be able to give back to the community.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, certainly to realize, and you hit it on the head, to make it a priority to be grateful, to be thankful for what you have. I know I've been, you know, doing my best to help the community, and you do have to juggle, but I know when I do it, I feel so much better inside. It's something I can't even describe, but I just feel good as a person that it's not just about me. And that's a beautiful thing that you've been able to, you know, realize that. You mentioned with your wife, my wife similarly was involved in the juniors. She's with the HSA now in the town. We're raising our kids because I think it's important to be involved and not just be on the sideline. Everybody says, well, I want to try. I got to do it, but I can't find the time. But and Nathan hit it on the head, make it a priority. Because I think you'll find as you get more involved, you get so much more out of it than you could ever imagine. Carolyn, you've been involved with, obviously, the Interfaith Food Pantry for so many years now. How many years has it been?
So, as I mentioned, I started as a volunteer. That was in 2002. And it's funny, you know, we talk about stories and we talk about our children and instilling the values. And I couldn't help but sit here and watch Nathan and think about when I started. My youngest daughter was 2 years old, and we started doing home delivery. One of the families that we were delivering to, they lacked transportation. He was a vet. He couldn't drive. He had severe PTSD. They had a child the same age as my daughter. And I remember when she was probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, that this family had a son her age. And we would deliver food to them, and he would get so excited, and little Peter would go through the bag, and he would pull out this little package of goldfish, and how excited he would get over the goldfish. She's now in her second year of school. She's at Xavier University out in Cincinnati, and when she was writing her college essay, it was entitled The Goldfish Rule, because she used that experience as sort of her leveler. So here was her favorite snack. Here was a child her age that she kind of identified with, you know, but she was in a different place than he was. But what did they have in common? They both loved goldfish. And so she said, okay, on a socioeconomic scale, here's where I am, here's where he is, but what ties us together was these goldfish, right? So she learned a lot from it, and she's now using that experience in her life to go out and reach out even more. So it's got kind of that ripple effect. When we teach those values to our children, they take that through their lives, and they are able to go out and you know, even amplify it, right? So anyway, going back, so I started as a volunteer in 2002. as my daughter got a little bit older and she was getting into kindergarten, I decided to re-enter the workforce. And so I told Rosemary, I said, I'm probably going to go back to work. And she said, well, you have a marketing background, right? Yes. So she said, I'll tell you what, I've got this outreach coordinator who really needs some help. She's really wonderful, but she had a cancer diagnosis and she was slowing down somewhat. She said, you could work part-time. Just come in from 10 to 3. You can get your daughter on the bus. You can get your daughter off the bus. Take Fridays off. You know, I didn't even ask her what she was paying me. I said, sign me up. You know, I'll take it. You know. And so I was going to start on a Tuesday as a part-time community outreach coordinator, not knowing at all what I was being paid, but just knowing that I really liked the opportunity. And unfortunately, the person that I was going to be helping passed away the week before. So I came on, and now I was the acting community outreach coordinator, and that was in 2005. Since that time, of course, part-time became full-time, and then full-time became full-time plus a little volunteer work on the side, and held many different positions. I was a volunteer coordinator when Nate walked through the door. I was the assistant director doing operations. I did programming. I ran the home delivery program. And prior to coming on in January as the executive director, I was a director of development for several years. So it was raising the $1.8 million in cash that we need to run the program.
Right. You have a remarkable commitment to this, you know, Neighbors Helping Neighbors organization, what I think it's all about. What I wanted to really understand for everyone's benefit is, it's a long time. You've been committed 17 years to this organization. Did you envision that when you started? You were going to make this one of your life's passions?
No. Very simply, I had no idea. But it just, you know, it kind of sucks you in. You know, as I'd mentioned, I was in marketing and then I was in technology with Accenture for a while, and I really did not expect that this was going to be my path. But I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. I don't think there are, you know, accidents and mistakes. And I think I was put in the right place at the right time. I think we all were. And it's my passion and it's my goal. And, you know, I just kind of let myself to the higher power. And I see myself as a conduit. Just let me do the right thing for the right reasons.
Well, no question, you're doing God's work and everyone else, Nathan and Mac, as well as everyone else that's part of the Interfaith Food Pantry. Mac, in terms of you know, your involvement, I mean, we talked about, you know, how you lift yourself up and you're giving back and you have that relationship with folks that come in. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you get to know the people that come in somewhat regularly.
I do. On my day to go in, the clients, you see each other every month. You sit together. So, yeah, you develop friendships and you get to meet different people from different aspects of life, different areas of the community. And then, of course, the people who work at the pantry are just, they become a family. I mean, I just feel so good when I walk through the door. I just feel very welcome, and I love everyone there. It's odd because being in the business world, I was a 9-to-5er for many years in human resources. You know, there's always political things that go on at a company and maybe people who aren't pulling their weight and those type of things. You just don't find that at the pantry. Everyone at the pantry wants to be there. Everyone at the pantry, their mission statements are all the same. So that eliminates so much conflict. And so you walk into this place that's just fantastic to be at. I love being there. So it's not just the people, the clients that I'm friendly with. It's the staff, too. They're like family to me.
Yeah. And, Mac, just which I thought was a beautiful thing on your part, not only did you benefit from the great works of the Interfaith Food Pantry, but you're volunteering.
Yes.
You realized the importance of what you received.
Exactly.
And you're paying it forward. Am I right?
Right. And as I said, I literally decided that on the way home from my first time there. That's the impression you get when you walk in the front door. I thought, gee, you know, I was recently retired. I had to retire for medical issues. And I wanted to do something. I didn't know what. I didn't know if it would be a part-time job or some type of volunteering. And I made that decision on the way home. I just knew it was hands-on. It was neighbors, like you said. And the place, I just can't describe how I was so worried when I walked in, and I was so relieved when I walked out. I felt so good on the way home. And I just thought, this is something that I want to be a part of.
All right, so once again, for the listeners that feel like they shouldn't put a hand out to try to get a hand up, do it. Go to the Interfaith
Absolutely.
Food Pantry.
Absolutely.
You're going to be welcome there. No one's judgmental. People need a helping hand, especially in this holiday season. It's, you know, time of giving. We talked
exactly.
a little bit about Thanksgiving, what it's about.
Exactly.
Nathan, you know, from your involvement as well, I mean, you know, you've been giving back for years now, and you got your children involved, which, once again, is just a beautiful thing. You know, as Carolyn touched on, we don't know what the goldfish is going to be for your kids, but you don't really know the impact until they get a little bit older. But to expose young kids at such an early age, I think, once again, bodes incredibly well for their future. Is there some other, you know, examples of the beautiful relationships you've developed with some of the folks that needed to help up and just kind of, you know, the relationships you're building?
I just keep going back to my home delivery clients because, as I mentioned before, they become an extension of your family. You introduce your family to them. You send them Christmas cards. I had my recent home delivery client had 3 years of Christmas cards on her mantle at home, which was great because she, every time I deliver to her, she always asks about my family, how are your children? And it just, it's a great relationship. As I mentioned, they become an extension of your family. You sit down with them and you talk to them and you share with them. And you bring your children and, you know, the children, know them by name and, you know, it's a great relationship. It really is.
So Ellen, who's my producer, we talk frequently about the idea of getting younger people involved in this idea. Ellen, what's your view of that as well in terms of the younger kids getting involved, being exposed to what happens in a community and you have to have a hand up?
I was just thinking about that as I was listening to all of these stories. And I know I see a lot of parents and they take their children on like walks. So there's like an MS walk or a cancer walk and, you know, grandma or someone has Alzheimer's. And I do think children that are participating in that, you know they're helping a cause. But the money goes to somewhere that they don't see. There's no real hands-on except for the person that they know they're helping, like a mother or grandmother or sister or cousin. But to have your children meeting people, and obviously your daughter, when they were sharing that, you know, the goldfish, that child didn't look any different than she did. So to have children like Nathan, for your kids to see kids, they're like, wow, this kid is just like me. But they don't have food. I have food. I go home to my Nintendo. I go home to I feel like my children live a really charmed life. I mean, it's not special. It's in a nice house, comfortable. But to have your kids go along with you and see that these people are just like them, but they're not just like them, to me, really can teach them a real story as opposed to just knowing that there was money raised going to some company somewhere that they'll never see. So I think I will be calling you. I think it's time for me to prioritize a little bit and get my kids. I think my kids really don't see what they have. They really don't.
Yeah.
They do, and they're good kids, but not to that level. There's a level that could really help.
If I could jump in here, I just want to, she reminded me of something with the children. What the pantry does is just little things. So I want people to maybe keep this in mind when they do want to make a food donation. It's not just food. We offer pet food if you have pets, a lot of diapers, baby food. Around school time, they try and get together backpacks filled with school supplies. So keep in mind that it's just an all-around well-being
support.
It's not just food.
Family support.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, when we're talking about kids, we had a very generous donor gave us a grant so that we could hire an education coordinator. And she felt that education for the kids was very important. So we now have a part-time person on staff who was funded by this person who wanted to make a donation. And so we have the Rosemary Gilmartin Legacy Education Program. And this goes out. She's got a team of retired educators that go out into the schools, teach kids about how they can give back, how they can get their hands on, make a difference in their community. What is the issue of hunger? What is food insecurity? How do you make a difference? What are some of the policies that wrap themselves around this? And we think that it's important for everyone to understand what this really means to our community and how to make a difference and how to give back.
No question about it, and thank you. I mean, this is all very educational for all of us. Carolyn, do you want to speak a little bit about the current needs of the Interfaith Food Pantry? I know it's near the end of 2019. We're obviously in the midst of Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year. What's the present needs?
I love Thanksgiving. It's exhausting. It's a good exhausting. Thanksgiving is a very interesting time for us at the food pantry. Of course, we give out Thanksgiving dinners to our clients who would like them. So we collect a lot of turkeys. I think we had Montville Unico deliver 320 yesterday. So we're okay. If you're thinking about donating the turkey, we might find a small corner in our freezer for it. But at this time, we're pretty good with Thanksgiving food. Most people around this time of year are thinking about Thanksgiving. And this is usually when hunger comes up. And people want to give back. And so we do get a lot of food, and as I mentioned, turkeys at this time. What happens is after the holidays, people kind of forget. And it goes away. And it's not on the top of everyone's mind. And so when the food drives stop, we dig into funds. And we have money in our budget that we use to purchase food. So the greatest need right now is actually in monetary contributions, because that will fill in when the food drives stop.
And if someone wants to donate, they're hearing us this morning and talk about the real needs in Morris County, really throughout the state and throughout the country. Where were they if they were going to donate to the Interfaith Food Pantry here, right here in Morris County? What number would they call?
973-538-8049.
And if they want to visit the website?
MCIFP.org. And I would be remiss in not doing my job very well if I didn't mention that Thanksgiving morning here in Morris Township at Ginty Field is another really great way to support the Interfaith Food Pantry and the literacy volunteers of Morris County. We will be hosting, I think it's our 15th annual Turkey Trot. And it's our
running
5K race. We get 2,500, 2,700, 3,000 people. I don't know. It's like Woodstock out there. A lot of people put their jogging shorts on, get ready. 8 o'clock in the morning, they get their run in before the big, turkey meal. So you're burning off those calories, and then you can be home in time for, having your Thanksgiving feast. You can register. You can find the link at MorristownshipTurkeyTrot.org to register for the race in advance, or you can just show up that morning. If you do, get there by 7 a.m. so that we can get you bib and get you ready to run with the crowd. There's also, if you're not a 5K runner, there's a 1 mile fun walk. So you can, if you're just not really into running and want to take a little walk that morning, again, to support the Interfaith Food Pantry and the literacy volunteers of Morris County, it's at Ginty Field, which is on Woodland Avenue in Morris Township.
Great, great. I've done a turkey trot before. I paid the price after my legs paid the price, but it was a great cause. I wanted, just before we conclude the show, I wanted to give everyone really an opportunity to talk about the meaning of Thanksgiving, since it is the Thanksgiving show. We've been talking a lot about Thanksgiving. Carolyn, what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Again, it's exhausting, but it's such a good exhausting. It's for me just time to reflect on everything that I've been blessed with in my life. And I don't mean blessed just by the fact that I've got a healthy family. They have food, they've got shelter, they've got good careers, you know. But I've been blessed with being involved in this organization for the past 17 years. It's just been an amazing experience. And I've learned so much, and I just continue to learn. And I get to do it every day. And I'm surrounded by people like Nathan and Mac. Nathan just joined our board of trustees, and I've got this fantastic board, and I've got these grateful clients, and 250 to 300 wonderful volunteers who are all there because they want to be. And then just, of course, the staff who are just amazing. So for Thanksgiving, yeah, I'm extraordinarily grateful for having been given this opportunity to lead such a wonderful organization.
And would you agree with your involvement with this incredible organization? You really see the incredible people in the community, and one of the things is there should be a more of a spotlight on people giving back instead of some of the negative stuff, all the wonderful things going on. Am I right?
Oh, it's amazing.
Right.
And, you know, when we look at the headlines, and again, like you said, you see all the negative. We can open our eyes to the positive. It's out there, and I see it every day. I'm very grateful for that.
Nathan, what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
I think Thanksgiving for me is a time of self-reflection. You know, I'm so blessed to be where I am. You know, a beautiful family. Everybody's healthy. It's an opportunity to be together, spend time together, reflect as a family, you know, eat and be happy. But, you know, it's all about family, really. It doesn't matter if we're hosting or if I'm at my parents' house or if I'm at my in-laws' house. It's just being together as a family and enjoying the time.
Okay. And Mac, you know, I'm going around the room here, but not to put you on the spot, but obviously you have your own perspective on Thanksgiving. What does it mean to you?
Mine is actually very specific. In 2006, I went through a major, major health issue. And I found out at that time just what a wonderful son I have who literally took care of me for a few years. And he's gone on to meet and marry a beautiful girl that I don't even consider a daughter-in-law. She's like a daughter to me. And we all live together, and I'm so thankful for him and her. Every single year, I stop and reflect on that, how it could have gone, but it didn't. With his support and other family members too. But honestly, my son really bore the brunt of it, and I'm so thankful for him and his wife every year.
He sounds like an incredible person. I'm glad you're feeling better as well. I wanted to thank all of you again. You really are true blessings. You know, people need to help each other. We live in this community together. You know, people say it's the me generation. I say it's the we generation. You know, it's a big family, and I really feel very, very fortunate to have you here today. I want to wish everyone a truly blessed Thanksgiving. Remember, Thanksgiving is one day a year, but that feeling of love, that feeling of coming together, that feeling of community should continue the entire holiday season and 365 days a year. Once again, have a blessed Thanksgiving. We look forward to hearing and speaking with everyone next week. God bless you.